600 ESPN El Paso.
And welcome back, everybody, as we continue with more of the Don Haskins Show. I hate to break up the party right now, but it's crazy, Coach. The atmosphere here is tremendous, and the best part is people during the commercial breaks come by, they say hi, and you know what? We've got a couple of celebrities here with yourself and a former minor Fred Reynolds in the house today.
You know what Fred does now, Steve?
I do, and I'm happy to say that I haven't run into Fred in his work uniform, and it's a pretty good thing.
I've caught him out on the highway with people pulled over.
Really?
Fred's a highway patrolman.
I know.
A very good one. And I've been trying to get him to get out of this business because, you know, every time a highway patrolman pulls somebody over or one of your policemen,
yes,
you never know.
That's true. Fred, you ever pull Coach over as a joke?
Yeah, yes, I have. Every chance I got, he wouldn't wear a seatbelt.
And that isn't true, Fred.
And but he did get the ticket, so he wasn't any better than anyone else.
There you go.
Yeah.
See that, Coach? You can't show. You can't play favorites, even if it's your former college coach.
No, Fred's pulled me over several times.
I believe
it. But it's been all in fun, and we go for coffee.
There you go. That's the best way to do it.
Yeah.
Hey, Fred, I got to ask about your calf injury that you talked about earlier. How exactly did that happen?
Well, we were playing. It was my senior year, and we were playing against New Mexico State, and it was a big game. We had it was an ongoing rivalry with them all week about the upcoming game, and I was having one of my better games. I had probably like 14 points in the first half, and we was really whooping up on them pretty good, and I got a fast break. Came down, dunked it backwards.
Well, that's a problem right there. Shouldn't have been dunking it backwards.
Came down, dunked it backwards. The crowd went crazy, ran back down, played defense, and pushed off on my calf and pulled it.
Oh, just like that.
Now, just like that.
When that happened and you dunked it backwards and then the injury took place, did Coach say anything to you on your way back to the bench?
I wouldn't dare even listen to him. I just kind of walked by him because I knew he would have said, that's what you get for dunking the ball backwards.
Probably would have, Fred. He says he heard it then. I forgot about the dunk backwards. That's probably when he did it, coming down. Not on the other end, guarding somebody.
Someone, yes.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about favorite memories at UTEP. Fred, you played with some great players, including yourself. Was there one particular game or memory that stood out in your mind more than the others over the years?
Wow, there was so many of them. I guess probably the one game that really stands out that I remember, it was, Coach probably remember this, we were playing, I was a sophomore, and we were playing down at the Pit. And New Mexico, UNM didn't have their coach. They had the one coach that came after Nolan Ellenberger. And they had Kenny Page, and he was beating us the whole game. Kenny Page had like 50-something points. And the only time
he had 50?
50.
I'd bet you on that. He didn't have 50. He might have had 30.
No, he had about 44 to 50. We can look back.
See, he's
on
already
that.
Backing up 40.
They didn't count the other six.
He was a good player.
So the place is crazy. You know, it's packed. It's noisy the whole time. The only time we was ahead was when Anthony Burns go up for the shot in the corner. Jerome Henderson blocks. He come down, go straight back up. It would have been a three-pointer. Hit it, the buzzer goes off. That's the only time we were ever hit, and the place goes silent. That's the only time in 5 years I ever heard the Pit go silent.
When you beat him on a buzzer beater, that's exactly buzzer what beater. It would take. Do you remember that shot by Anthony Burns,
yes,
Coach?
Yes, I do. I didn't remember it till he brought it up. And I do remember the guy blocked it, and he come down, got the ball again, went back up, and it was about an 18, 19-footer.
Yes.
It was the right corner. I remember that right.
amazing enough that we've had two players on, and both of their favorite memories against New Mexico at the Pit. Of course, Soup's going to talk about the paper cup incident because that made his legacy. But getting Fred to talk about this Anthony Burns shot at the Pit, it just amazes me, because I think that that right there, Coach, is the example of how much New Mexico versus UTEP meant to the minor players and that rivalry and how important it was.
I couldn't believe it when Jason Rabideau got here and kind of cut off that relationship. And then later we, you know, there's two teams we need to play, New Mexico State twice, and we need to play New Mexico. That has been our rivalries for long before I got here. And I wish we could get back to playing. I think we play them next year once, but we ought to play them twice.
Okay. Yeah, I'm telling you. Fred, did you get us up for the Aggie minor rivalries as you did the Lobo minor rivalries?
Well, I mean, back in the day when it was the WAC, I mean, every game was a rivalry. That was UNM. Then in preseason, New Mexico State. Then we had Wyoming, Colorado. Air Force even was, you know, they beat us 1 year. And I remember Coach always told us that before the game, don't think those guys aren't good. These are the guys who protect our country, and they're real smart. And those was, that was one team that was always disciplined.
They play with their heart. Yes. They really do. And I hated to go there because you're supposed to beat them. But they're smart. They play hard. And I played against two coaches there that were great, Hank Egan and Reggie.
Reggie Minton.
Reggie Minton.
Yeah.
They were both very good.
BYU, you had some classic BYU rivalries over the years. Fans in El Paso always seem to get more excited about BYU coming to town than practically everybody else. And the two of you both know this, because some of the most memorable matchups were against the BYU Cougars in the Don Haskins Center. Fred, you have any? Were you still a minor during the famous fight between Scott Sinek and Lustiger and Ken Lockhart?
No, I was playing over in Europe, and I saw it on TV. In replays late at night over there, and I saw it and I couldn't believe it, but it was always great to play.
Fred, I couldn't either. We went down, was going free throw line with an 8-point lead, and after Kent Lockhart left the bench and he swung at everything in blue, and they got I don't know how many free throws, and there was only 1 second left on the clock, or two or three, something like that. They tied the game, and we played till dark. We started at noon and finally won in double or triple overtime. I don't remember which. You were over in Europe then,
yes,
huh?
I was over in Europe, and I saw it.
Yeah. I didn't speak to Lockhart or Goodwin for about 2 weeks.
At the same time, Fred, you had a chance to play against Danny Ainge, who was obviously went on to star with the Boston Celtics, but someone who had been a part of those early, you know, those great teams from BYU back in the early 80s.
Yeah, I mean, they've always had great players, disciplined players. They complained a lot, but, you know, if you really got a chance to meet some of those guys, they were great off the court. Devin Durant, who was a great player, who was a good friend of mine, Brett Applegate. And then you go to Utah when they had Danny Vrain.
Yeah.
And I kind of got into a little spout with him my sophomore year with them. Got into a little pushing match, but it was all fun. You just get out of the competition.
Who did you get in the pushing match with?
Berkowitz or some guy. His name was Had Some.
I don't remember that.
But I didn't get kicked out the game.
Well, that's good. Yeah. That would not have been good. I don't think if you're a player for this man, if you were ever kicked out of a game for going after a player, that would probably not bode well for your future.
Well, I did have one problem. Coach probably remember this. I remember we were playing Utah, down in Utah, and what had happened, we had a guard by the name of Byron Walker, and he got into a pushing match with a player on the other team. So I go in, and I'm trying to be a peacemaker. The next thing, I'm trying to break up everyone, and I accidentally push the referee.
Didn't remember it.
You didn't. And I got kicked out the game.
Really?
It was an accident.
Yeah.
But I went and apologized after it was, he's repping right now in the NBA.
Is it Jimmy Clark?
Jimmy Clark.
I'll be damned, yeah.
I went and apologized, and it was an accident, but I wasn't that type of player, and it was all just trying to break up everything.
I do not remember that incident.
Yeah. It's probably a good thing you don't.
Huh?
It's probably a pretty good thing you don't remember it, because if you do remember it, you might have remembered running Fred after that might have happened. It's a good thing.
Fred was a guy that worked hard, played hard, never... You know, I didn't have many guys that ever give, talk back or any of that.
Yeah.
I don't think I would have put up with that very long. But all of them, all over the years, we really had a great bunch of players and players that wanted to play basketball and players that wanted to win.
I'd like to say, Steve, I it's been a pleasure for me. When I arrived here back in 79, not knowing anyone, and this city has come and embraced me from day one. And not only that, I had the opportunity to play for a Hall of Fame coach for 4-5 years. And after all these years, I still have a relationship with him, and he's still around. And not many guys can say that.
What did you learn from him, not only as a player, but as a person?
You got to learn, you got to be able to compete, and you compete every day in life. And you start in the classroom, you compete on the floor, but I always started with basketball, and I tell my same guys that. You compete in life, whether it starts with basketball and it carries on in life, because you're going to want to have the best grade. You're going to want to have the best job. You're going to want to go out and you're going to compete for the girlfriend, relationship. Compete and have a great family. Everything's
I never thought of that, Fred. Competing for girlfriends?
and everything's a competition in life. And if you can compete and learn to compete on the floor, you can take that on in life. And that's what I learned from Coach. Give 100% day in and day out.
Well, that's what I learned from my coach in college. I didn't like it during the time. I don't think Fred ever went through any 9-12, 2-5, and 7-10 workouts. But I did. And so I learned something about work ethic and took it to Benjamin High School with me, treated those kids the same way. And, I had a lot of fun, Benjamin, Headley, and Dumas. And when I got here, it was fun to have players that played better, more talented. But those little kids at those schools, never forget how great they were. It was a lot of fun.
880-5763, 880-KRD, bottom of the hour. 30 minutes left to go here on the Don Haskins Show. You still have time to get in with your phone calls. If you have a question for the coach or for Fred Reynolds, come on down and give us a call. We'll be here till 7 o'clock, folks, so plenty of time to join us. 5030 North Desert Boulevard. We've got Dollar, Shiner, Bach, 12-ounce drafts till 8 o'clock. Not to mention, if you mention the Bear tonight, either East or West, you get 10% off your total bill. Back right after this on News Radio KROD.
600ESPNElPaso.com.
Welcome back, everybody, as we continue with more of the Don Haskins Show. Steve Kaplowitz along with Coach Haskins, Fred Reynolds. We are live here from Fuddruckers on the west side of town, 5030 North Desert Boulevard. Coach, it just gets more and more crowded in here as we go along tonight.
Yes, it does.
That's great. Come on down, folks. Meet the coach. And again, if you buy dinner tonight and you want to get something signed, Coach will sign that for you. Be more than happy to. We got some great prizes we're giving away tonight here. Just if you want to register, it's free to sign up. And in the meantime, I want to go to the phones because, guys, we've got Crowfoot calling us today from Scottsdale, Arizona. Crowfoot, thanks for the phone call, and we miss you out here today.
What's up, Coach?
Hey,
Crowfoot, we can barely hear you. Go ahead.
Well, tell Coach it was 114 in the shade today, but Steve also wanted to tell you, if you remember, I told you that the Beavers are going to win it.
You did predict Oregon State.
Yes, he did. And Beto went with a old friend of mine who I used to play golf with, and he was kind enough to go over, as he's in the Mayo Clinic, Greg Ramsey. And so he went all the way over there to help take care of them. They're next door neighbors. And Greg's a great guy, and I hope everything turns out. How's he doing?
He's doing good, Coach. We took him through all the regimen today. They really worked him over. He's kind of beat up, but he told me to go home, and I think he's going to be fine. And he told me to say hello and thank you for thinking about him.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, are you coming home tomorrow?
I'm coming home now, Coach, but I'm pulling over every 10 minutes because there's sandstorms out here. It's amazing. You can't see anything.
A lot of rain in them?
Yeah, so it's like they're throwing mud pies at the window.
Oh, boy. Where are you?
I'm in Oracle, Arizona.
Where?
Oracle,
Arizona. Well, anyway, give me a call tomorrow and appreciate your call.
All right, Coach. Go Beavers.
There you go. Crowfoot. I didn't know Crowfoot was such a fan of the Oregon State Beavers.
I didn't either.
I guess you learn something new every
Crowfoot
day.
Crowfoot lies a lot.
Yeah, that's exactly. Well,
hey,
he picked
Steve,
a good one there. Yes, Fred.
I want to ask Coach a question, and it's not a trivia or anything. I've always wondered. Two questions. Who was the first team you coached against and you won, and who was the last team you coached against and you won here at Utah?
The first team that I coached against college basketball, we played Iowa State in Ames, Iowa. And the last team that I coached, we got beat by SMU. We had 7 seconds left, and we're supposed to get back and stay between our mind and the basket. And they had, you know, Fred, the worst thing you can do is play scared.
Yeah.
And he went in and shot it from 4 or 5 foot because everybody was afraid to play. And we were ahead 1 point and got beat. And that was in the tournament over at Las Vegas my last year.
Wow. That's amazing.
Always wanted to know that.
By the way, guys, I had a question from somebody here, and I'll ask the two of you both this question. Which was worse to play in, the Pit in Albuquerque or BYU's arena?
I think the hardest place to play ever was the Pit. It's a place that I love to play. The fans were vicious. And, you know, if you're going to let people bother you, and you can't play with that, well, you ought not be there. And I kind of liked it. I kind of enjoyed it there. The fans weren't quite the same at BYU. They're a little nicer. The Pit, as Fred will tell you, I'll never forget one night, and I was raising heck with the officials, and they started throwing coins at me. And our trainer, Ross Moore, he started picking them up, and I said, hey, Ross, just pick up the dimes and quarters. Let's leave the pennies and nickels on the floor.
I would say possibly the Pit. The BYU, although they had more people, they weren't as vocal. But I tell you, another tough place was where we closed, Wyoming Gym, when we closed the barn.
That was a great game.
Yes.
We won the last game at Old War Memorial, and that was an afternoon game, regionally televised. And we played a heck of a game because they had a great team, and I'll never forget that one. There's a lot of games that stand out, but that is extra special.
What made Wyoming's arena so tough to play? Was it just the size? I was always told the fans were right on top of your face from start to finish.
Well, when you come in, they had a little kind of like a pit, and it had sawdust and what have you in it. And when you're getting introduced, well, you'd have maybe a whiskey bottle thrown down.
Jack Daniels.
Or something. Jack Daniels. Yeah, they love to throw Jack Daniels. And I'll never forget, there was a fan there, and he gave me more. Now, you talk about a guy, and I called him Foghorn. One night, we were there long before the game that Fred's talking about, and we were ahead one, and the officials let Wyoming go about five steps, and they made a shot. And this guy gave me, I mean, now you talk about a real Coach Bader. He was good. Well, anyway, I come out of the dressing room, and the press was all asking about, you know, it was a hideous call, and everybody knew it. And this old boy's standing there, and he had overalls. Not overalls, he had suspenders.
Okay.
Blue jeans. Weighed about 265, 270, 6'5". Wore horn-rimmed glasses. Big, big guy. Big cowboy hat. Cigar. And he says, Coach, I'm the guy that gets after you all the time. He said, but you didn't deserve what happened tonight. So the next year, and I never would turn around. He'd say, hey, fat boy. I guess I was overweight. Red hell, I don't know. But he would try to get me to turn around. And, you know, if you ever turn around when fans are hollering at you, you've lost. Well, one game, 3 or 4 years after that, we went up there, and I'm waiting for this guy to start getting at me. I kind of enjoy it. And not a word. So finally, before the game started, I turned around and went up, and I said, where's the guy that gets after me? And he had passed away.
Oh, wow.
So I kind of missed him. But he was just a true sports fan.
That's amazing. That's a good story. I didn't realize they threw Jack Daniels bottles at you on your way out. Fred, that's a true story. It happened to you guys?
They put newspapers in front of them, and they were introducing us. And they would throw bottles, actually, that would hit down by us. I don't think anybody ever got hit by one.
Wow.
But after the game, go someplace to eat or something, nicest people in the world. But, boy, they were tough, I'm telling you. That was a tough place.
I remember that one game we're talking about that we closed the gym, spoiled the whole party for them. I remember before the game, we walking in there, and it's cold. And you have to, I mean, they did a rodeo in there, and they put a court on top of the place. So here we are. They're getting rowdy. And I'm getting a little worried about it. So I'm not going to tell these people, let us in, because they're really getting rowdy. I mean, I was afraid. So I'm knocking. It's like, hey, let us in.
It's below zero, what he's talking about.
Yes.
Below zero, and they wouldn't let us in.
So I'm knocking. My hand goes through the glass door.
Unbelievable. So you cut your hand.
Cut my hand.
Before the game.
Yes.
I remember that now.
Yes. And were you still able to play with cut hand?
I was able to play, yeah. Oh, of course I was going to play. Of course I was going to play, and
absolutely,
we beat him. And we beat him and spoiled the whole party. And they always had, it was amazing how they always had great players like Charles Bradley, Bill Garnett, Mike Jackson. They always had great players there.
Yeah, that's good stories. It really is. Wyoming, New Mexico, BYU. Then again, you ask people from those places where the toughest place for them to play, probably right here in El Paso at the Special Events Center, now known as the Don Haskins Center.
Yes.
So that's the best part about it.
Well, the trip I hated the worst was Hawaii. And we'd go over and play, and you know, so we'd play San Diego State going or coming back. And I remember on several occasions we beat both Hawaii, and I don't know if Fred was in on any of this. We'd beat Hawaii and San Diego State and come home and get beat. Because it seemed easy, you know.
Fred, did you enjoy your trips to Hawaii? Were they always nice? You had great beachfront property over there, the sun, the women. What was it like, Fred?
No.
Wouldn't let them go to the beach.
Oh, really?
We would fly in after San Diego State game. We would play, and we was out after the game. So I remember.
So you never had a chance to really enjoy Hawaii as a player?
Not until afterwards when I participated in the All-Star game.
Well, I'm sorry about that, Fred.
All right, let's take our final break of the show. When we come back, we will wrap things up here with Fred Reynolds. Your phone calls at 880-5763. More of the Don Haskins Show from Fuddruckers here on the west side of town. 5030 North Desert Boulevard, right after this on News Radio KROD. Welcome back, everybody, as we continue. Final few minutes here of the Don Haskins Show. No more phone calls. Matter of fact, I want to congratulate Matt, who called us earlier on a cell. Coach, I know we talked about it. We're going to give Matt the $50 Border Bucks card from Howdy's. He talked about the NCAA tournament and the question of 65 teams versus 128 and 32.
I tell you what, I thought it was a good question, and it's something
too
on everybody's mind right now.
It really is.
I think we need to move it up to 128, but we don't need the power conferences getting all the seats. We need to get some of the smaller, the George Masons.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to miss any of them.
No, that's very true. Also, want to mention, July the 15th at 8 o'clock at the Plaza, you will be joining the forces with Jeff Lindbergh for the Making of Glory Road. Tickets are already on sale at Ticketmaster and Ticketmaster.com. $10, $25, and $35. Now, the two of you have already hooked up for a very successful event, an evening with Don Haskins, and now you're doing it again. The Making of Glory Road, to, I guess, talk about what is true and what might not so be so true.
It's unbelievable how many things that people think weren't true that are.
Yeah.
And vice versa.
I'm amazed.
I think it'll be a fun night, and I hope we have a lot of people there.
Somehow, I think we're going to have a lot of people there. Don't you, Fred? I've got a feeling the Plaza will be pretty packed that night.
That's going to be a very electrifying night.
July the 15th, folks, 8 o'clock at the Plaza, Making of Glory Road. You'll join the likes of Jeff Lindbergh. You know, one of the things in that movie that I thought for sure was not true would have been the story of Harry Flournoy's mother flying into El Paso to make sure that Harry went to class. And sure enough, I asked you about that when the movie was
done. No, we can't talk about that.
Oh, you want to save that one, huh?
But it's true. She showed up.
Okay. We'll just leave it like that. But you will answer all the questions and myths coming up on July the 15th at the Plaza. Should be a great, great night. I haven't asked you this much yet, Fred, but I'm sure you've had a chance to catch Glory Road by now and probably already have it on DVD. What was your reaction when you saw the movie for the first time?
I was fortunate to take my little City League AAU team and toured, and I mean, it was great. I never knew Coach had a short spot in, and I really enjoyed that. I mean, I've heard all the stories and talked with Coach, and unless you talk with Coach, you can't really appreciate that movie, and I think it's just great. It was a long time coming.
It's one of the reasons why I love the book so much, because that book is right out of the man's mouth. And
hey, Steve, and I know you talked about it today on your radio show.
Yes.
You know, the movie has a chance to win the ESPY Award, and that is done, I don't know the numbers, but it's done by voting. And whoever, you remember the other three, one is Golf Story.
The Greatest Game Ever Played.
Greatest Game Ever Played.
And then it was Dreamer about the racehorse.
Right, right.
And then I think the last one was the Roger Bannister movie about the man who ran the four-minute mile.
Oh, I remember Roger Bannister well. He never made the four-minute mile, but he tried a lot.
And he's got a movie about it. That's even perfect. So
really.
If you go online to ESPYs.tv.com or just ESPN.com, you can vote. There's 39 categories, but we really do encourage all of El Paso to go online and vote, because, Coach, it's an opportunity for El Paso to ensure that Glory Road wins this award, and many believe that that's exactly what's going to happen in a couple of weeks when the award's filmed in California.
I talked to Jim Gartner today, the director, and Jim's going to be there. He's doing commercials. You know, the only movie he's ever done is Glory Road.
That's right.
But he's the tops at commercials. And he worked so hard. You know, this is a little bitty guy, and he lost about 15 pounds in the 4 months. It's unbelievable what actors, directors, and all the people surrounding a film go through. Unbelievable.
It really is. And once again, all the players have been invited to Los Angeles to be a part of that. You as well, with your wife and family. So that's an exciting night. And not only is it, I'm sure, a big night for you and for your team, but also for, as you mentioned, Jim Gartner, Jerry Bruckheimer, all the actors, Josh Lucas, who had a chance to put that story to the silver screen and you know, made Glory Road the hit that it is right now.
About 3 or 4 days ago, had a letter from Josh. Got to know him pretty well. And he was over in Europe. you know, they're, what is the name of that show he just did? Poseidon?
Oh, Poseidon, exactly.
Poseidon. Great movie. And he's out talking it up for that, like he did Glory Road.
Well, that movie is good, by the way.
He's a great actor.
I'm happy I took my cruise before the movie Poseidon came out, because, as you know, it's about it's a remake of the cruise ship that goes under, and yes, that's a bit of a scary thing if you've been on one of those boats, right, Fred?
Well, yeah, and I'm familiar with the Caribbean, and congratulations on your marriage. And
thank you.
I just finished a project over in Aruba with my wife. We just finished a home over there. We have a website, Kamai Villa, K-A-M-A-Y Villa.
That's right, Fred. You got a house over in, it's Aruba?
Yes, sir.
You gonna invite me?
I'm inviting you right now.
All right. I'm gonna come.
I'm inviting Steve.
Thank you.
I've told him. And,
when are you gonna go? How much time will you be spending over there?
Not as much as I'd like.
Yeah.
But we just finished it, and it's been a project in a year. And
yeah.
3 minutes from the golf course, 3 minutes from the beach, and I got a set of golf clubs waiting on
me. I'll tell you what, that coach. Sounds like a great place, Fred. Congratulations.
I'm inviting all El Paso to go on the website and look at it.
Once again, it's Kamai Villa. It's a Kamai Villa, K-A-M-A-Y, V-I-L-L-A.com.
Yes.
And it'll direct it right over to your property. Does it have pictures of it?
Yes.
I can't wait.
Yes.
Coach, it sounds like
I knew that was happening, but forgot.
That sounds like the ultimate vacation right there.
Boy, doesn't it?
That really does.
That sounds like better than playing Hawaii and coming home.
Yeah. I think so. You touched on something. We haven't really talked about it yet. You coach a young AAU team here in El Paso. What's it like for you now, after spending so many years with this man here, to now have that role as a coach?
I tell you, it's tough, and I really, really enjoy it. I tell you, it's the greatest. I look forward to going coaching them every day in practice. I've had this team for the last few years. I've had them starting at the Y since they were 5 years old, some of them. And we play in the City League, and they're a travel team. We've gone up to Albuquerque to play in tournaments and the City League. And I'm the same coach I feel like Coach is. I work them pretty hard.
Fred, how old are they?
You started them at 11 and 12. And I tell each one of those guys, they got a head start on me because I never had that kind of teaching when I was young. They play strictly man-to-man, too, Coach. No zones. No zones.
Well, thank you for that.
And you know what, Coach? We run the same offense we run. We run the motion. We run the 14-zone offense and strictly man-to-man and the spread, which nobody is figuring it out yet, Coach.
Hey, isn't that the ultimate tribute right there? We're talking about 11- and 12-year-olds, and yet everything that he does is stuff that he picked up with you and your years at UTEP.
I got to see your team play, Fred.
We practice Monday and Friday at the JCC at 3 o'clock.
I'm going to come down and watch you.
It's strictly man-to-man, spread offense. I figured if we can get fifth in the nation with it, I'm quite sure these guys can do it too.
That's right. Because you were part of that team that was number 5 in the country.
Yes.
Absolutely right. When you look at coaching 11 and 12-year-olds, talk about your patience level and how at times, I'm sure it tests it a little bit, because that's an age where kids are starting to really develop their game, but at the same time, is it hard to have their attention all the time on the court?
No, I guess the hardest part is coaching my own son, because I tell every parent, and they could tell you, I tell them, your kid has it easy. They go home with you. My kid has to come home with me every day. But, you know, you got to be fair. And I don't go out there and just let them run up and down the court. I teach them. I teach them defense. I teach them fundamentals, which is very important. I don't want you guys to come out here and just play. I want you to learn and understand and study the game.
I would bet Fred's harder on his own boy than anybody. And that's the only way you can be when you're coaching your own kids.
Absolutely right. Well, did you ever get a chance to coach any of your sons during your... I know you obviously had to do it during your off time.
My guys wouldn't play for me.
No?
No. No. You know, most of them kind of got into golf.
Yep.
And really, not, Steve played a little basketball, but... They kind of preferred golf, and that was fine with me. I don't think you can tell your boy what to play. You got to play what he wants to play.
And with that, let's wrap things up. Guys, we're out of time. Want to thank you as well, Fred, for spending the hour with us. And, Coach, anything you want to leave Fred with before we wrap it up?
Don't pull over the wrong car, Fred. He's got a tough job.
That's right.
And he's great at his job. I've heard nothing but compliments, and it's what I would expect from Fred Reynolds.